Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we spend our time answering a question that the anti-pre-tribulation rapture crowd asks many times in an attempt to stump the Bible believer. And that question is, what Bible verse teaches a pre-trib rapture? Now, we also understand there might be a sincere Bible student who would ask that question, so we've attempted to approach this from both angles and to provide the Bible believer with an answer that will lay this tactic to rest and build your faith in the promises of God. And that is the main goal of this ministry. We want to provide a steady stream of Bible teaching that will cover the Scriptures as God gave them, verse by verse, along with supplemental studies like this one that will tackle the tough questions and build your faith in the book you hold in your hand, the authorized King James Bible. Now, with that thought in mind, we also want to remind you, you can contact us and send us your questions or your comments or even prayer requests. You can send an email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That email again is bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or the mailing address at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now we begin our study. This is part one of two, and the title of the study is What Bible Verse Teaches a Pre-Trib Rapture? And we just want to say a word of apology. The sound is a little bit rough at times, and that's because a little switch is flicked on the handset, and it throws the audio off just a little bit. We apologize for that. But it is clear enough that we went ahead and want to share this study with you.
It's been a little while. It's been over almost 2 years since we had a study just on the rapture. And tonight's kind of a Q&A, but I'm going to take some time to really lay this thing out for you. And then we'll come back and have some question and answers. So hold your questions. Unless if it's directly toward what we're talking about, feel free to ask. But we're going to try to get this in a nutshell 30-minute message, and then we'll have some Q&A afterwards. But you notice the title is a question. What Bible verse teaches a pre-trib rapture? Have you ever had anybody ask you that? There's a growing number of people who are rejecting the rapture, and one of their questions to the pre-trib rapture believers like ourselves is, what Bible verse teaches a pre-trib rapture? And so the answer, I'm going to answer this real quick for you, and then we're done. We can all go home. We don't base things on one verse. You see, that's the problem with that question. Truth is based on Scripture in context and in line with all the counsel of God. Acts 20:27 says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And we build our doctrine on the Scripture, not one Bible verse. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works." You don't just look at one verse. And folks, that's why a lot of people have built whole denominations. You ever heard of the Apostolic Pentecostal Church? Acts 2:38 is their one verse that if you go to one of their church, at least the church I went to that was a part of that denomination back in 1989, I think it was, they preached that same verse over and over. It's just pounded in your head. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And so they also went on to teach that you not only had to be baptized in the name of Jesus for salvation, but you had to come up out of the water speaking in tongues, or at some point speak in tongues, showing evidence of the Holy Ghost. That's what happens when you take one verse and try to build a whole doctrine on it. In other words, the question is flawed.
Right.
When someone says, what one verse teaches the rapture? The question is flawed. What one Bible verse says that the King James Bible is the only true Bible? Come on, show me. That's anti-King James Bible people will ask you that question. They'll say, where does the Bible say, show me the Bible verse that says the King James Bible is the Word of God? It's just a dumb question.
Don't touch the Word of God or the
plagues of the
book come to you.
That's, yeah, but again, those are all, but again, you have to take that and other verses that tell you that God would give His Word, He would preserve His Word, and that He has promised to keep His Word, and that we would have His Word, and all these other, it's not just one verse. Because they have their way of interpreting that one verse. So that's the response you get. What one Bible verse says that the King James Bible is the only true Bible? What one Bible verse says that a saved person can never lose their salvation? There's not a single verse that teaches that. Now you can take a verse and say, well, in light of what we know, this verse does, you know, but it doesn't say a person can never lose their salvation. There's not a Bible verse that says that. And so, you know, that's the way the question is presented to you. So, biblical truth is not normally found in a verse or even a passage, but is established when the truth is what?
Taken as a whole.
The Bible says there is a rapture, and there is nothing said about any requirements to happen beforehand. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning of verse 13 through 18 is the whole text that lays out the rapture. It tells you that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which alive remain, etc. Well, verse 16 is where the rapture, the crux of the rapture passage is. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. And at no place in that context does it say anything has to happen before this takes place. Why are we not told... After most of you are killed, and if you don't take the mark, you should be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Because that wouldn't be any comfort. The next verse says, comfort one another.
Amen. Verse 18 says, comfort one another with these words. What kind of comfort is that? And that's the thing is we're going to see. The rapture is always presented as imminent. Could happen now. Not after the tribulation. And that's where most of these anti-preacher of rapture people want to put it, is after the tribulation. The word imminent is defined in Webster's 1828 dictionary as hanging over, impending, threatening, or near. Now this can be in a bad way, but it can also be in a good way. And the rapture is something that is hanging over us as a possibility at any moment. The rapture is impending. The rapture is threatening. For those who aren't ready, the rapture is near. That's the definition of imminent. An imminent rapture is a pre-trib rapture. So what you do is the Bible doesn't say the rapture takes place before the tribulation or the rapture is a pre-trib event, but it does say that it's imminent, that the rapture could happen at any moment. And if it's an imminent rapture, it's a pre-trib rapture.
Amen.
Jesus taught that His coming for His people would be imminent. It's hanging over, it's near, it's possible right now. Matthew 24:44, He gives them all this prophecy about what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Now, at this point in the text, He's kind of stepped back now looking at His followers, and He says, therefore, be ye also ready. You see? You gotta look close at what you're reading there. He's saying that these people and these events in the previous verses are not the people he's talking to. And he says, therefore, be ye also ready, just like these people during the tribulation need to be ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's imminent. That means you don't know when it's going to happen. In such an hour as ye think not. And I remind myself of that. When I catch myself just becoming a little too world-focused, and I make myself think, you know what, this could really all not matter in just a moment. Sometimes it can be I'm getting too involved in sports. And it hasn't been that way for a long time, to be honest with you. I don't ever want to sound sanctimonious and like I think I'm holy because of my view of sports. But I've just gotten fed up with sports. All the crackheads and all the criminals they let get by with what they do. And the Super Bowl this year, Super Bowl 2016, Beyonce in her halftime show slamming the cops and praising the Black Panthers and Black Lives Matter movement and all this nasty stuff that they're putting on. And in the commercials, I watched a playoff. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I heard about Beyonce and stuff, and I saw video clips. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the Super Bowl this year. I don't know. I've missed very few Super Bowls in my lifetime. And I just didn't. We were home, but I just didn't watch it. And 2 weeks or 3 weeks before that, I think 2 weeks, we were watching one of the playoff games. And here during the playoff game, the commercial was for a show called Lucifer. On Fox. Now that's bad enough. And I usually will mute the commercials so I don't even have to listen to them. And so I thought, well, I'll just mute it. Well, the game came back on, so I turned the volume back up, and Joe Buck, the play-by-play guy, he's advertising for the show during the football game. And while the game's going on, he says, be sure to tune in at such and such time for the premiere of Lucifer, making bad look so good.
Oh my God.
And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know what? I got better things to do with my time. But is that the kind of thing I want to be watching when the Lord comes back? And I think of that, and that's why 1 John says that this hope that we have purifies us. If you can put off the world in your own personal interests and get excited about the coming of the Lord, it has a purifying effect. You'll be wanting to live your daily life in a way that pleases the Lord. And then you realize, well, really, I should do that anyway because He's here all the time. He sees my every move. Amen. It says, in such an hour as ye think not, this could not be the case if the rapture is not imminent. Jesus couldn't have even said those words if the rapture wasn't imminent. If the rapture is during the 7-year tribulation, then we would know that it's either 3.5 years or near the end of the 7-year period. If we all walked in here next Sunday and I said, you know, the Pope moved his chair to Jerusalem and they signed an agreement confirming the covenant, the Mosaic covenant with the Jews, and they're putting up the temple and they're going to start animal sacrifice. And so that means we probably missed the rapture. We were wrong about the pre-trib rapture. But don't worry. We know it's either going to happen 3.5 years from that day or right at the 7-year mark from that day. So what we're going to do is we're all going to form a bit of a ministry here. We're all going to count the days so that we'll know the day that Jesus is coming. You see? That's why that can't be true. Jesus said you wouldn't know. Hey, we're not going to be able to keep track and count. We have to be ready for it at any moment. But if the rapture weren't pre-trib, we could count. As a matter of fact, we could get prepared now. We could all like form a committee and have Jenny use her Excel experience to make a spreadsheet, and we could all put all the facts, you know, get it all ready. No, we don't. We're not going to be here to do that. That would not be in such an hour as you think not. We'd be counting it down. If the rapture is not pre-trib, then we would be counting the days after the tribulation begins, my point. And we can't do that. And that would not be imminent. So you see, once you build on the doctrines of the Word of God, you know that Jesus said that His coming is imminent. It could be any moment. So any idea about the rapture that counters the imminency doctrine can't be true. It really is that simple. It's like, you know, Jesus said, when you turn repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have trusted in His shed blood to pay for your sins, and the power of His resurrection, demonstrating He won the victory over sin and death, at that moment, you are saved. If you can lose your salvation, you're not saved.
Amen.
You see, so you start right there. Anything that tells you you're no longer saved is of the devil.
Amen.
Some of you don't look real convinced, or it may just be getting late. But I want to tell you, you build on that doctrine. That you understand that you're saved, and anything that contradicts that is false.
Amen.
And that's the way you do with the Trinity.
Amen.
And the deity of Christ is under such attack these days. When someone comes along and tries to convince you that Jesus was created, or that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, or something like that, you know that can't be true, because you know
Amen.
That God is three in one.
Amen.
The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God. These three are one. 1 John 5:7. But if you don't have a King James Bible, that ain't in your Bible.
Right.
They ripped that verse out of your NIV and your New American Standard, etc. And when it says that God was manifest in the flesh, talking about Jesus Christ, that's not in your new Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, your Bible don't tell you that. And so forth and so on. Now, what marks the beginning of the tribulation? This is very important to get. What marks the beginning of the tribulation? Once you understand that, then you know the rapture is going to happen before this. Daniel 9 and 24 to 27 is just another one of those passages you should at least make a mental note of to know where it's at all times. And this is the prophecy that Daniel gave that predicted the very day that the Messiah would show up in Jerusalem to die and be cut off. He gave the very day. If you were living in the Old Testament and you knew the book of Daniel, and then you were living, let's say you're living at the time Jesus was born, and you knew the book of Daniel, you would know to be looking for this Messiah who would be cut off. But they didn't know. There's people in Jesus' day, the reason they rejected Jesus was one simple reason. He said, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures. He told them, if you had known the day of your visitation, they didn't know. They didn't know the Scriptures. I wanted to keep it all in one, so it's a little smaller than normal in the print here. But Daniel 9:26 ends by saying, and the people of the prince that shall come, the prince that shall come is the Antichrist. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, talking about the temple that was destroyed in 70 AD. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, we don't have time to go through all the verses, so I cut it down to 26, 27. But he's talked about how Jesus would come, be cut off, and then they would destroy the temple, and then there'd be this desolation until the time would come when the prince that shall come, verse 27, and he, who is this prince that shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. How many days in a week? In prophecy, that's years. When the Bible talks about 1 week, it's 7 years. And we've got a message on that. We've laid it all out, showed where the Scripture confirms that. We don't have time for now. So that is when the tribulation begins. Now, I tell you, so there are preachers, well-meaning out there, running around telling everybody, they believe that God will possibly show end-time believers who the Antichrist is before the rapture. I don't believe that, and I believe that's dangerous. And a lot of these guys are King James only, independent fundamental preachers who are saying this stuff. But what they're really, they're embracing the charismatic idea of some kind of extra-biblical revelation. The Bible tells us how we'll know the Antichrist, who the Antichrist is right there, and we aren't here to see it.
Amen.
Don't want to be here. Amen. And so we know that the rapture is going to happen before that. The rapture is imminent. And if we could wait for that before, if the rapture happened after this, we've got nothing to look forward to until that happens. Jesus wouldn't have said, be ready. He would have said, well, after the Antichrist confirms the covenant, then be ready. Doesn't say that. And Jesus' words of telling people to be ready are contradicted by this if the rapture happens afterwards. Am I clear? You getting it? The implication of the rapture were not pre-trib, should be if the rapture is not pre-trib, we could wait for the Antichrist covenant and then begin the countdown. And folks, these people are post-trib and everything. That's what I don't know if any of them are, but that's what they ought to be selling books right now. Letting everybody know what we're looking for here is that the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to confirm the covenant with Israel for 1 week, and from that point on, we're going to start the countdown for 3.5 years. And if you don't come in 3.5 years, then we start another countdown for another 3.5 years.
Then for sure,
he's coming. Pretty good chance 3.5 years, mid-trib, but if that don't happen, then we're sure. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you selling Kool-Aid, dude?
Yeah.
That would not be imminent, is why we know that's not true. And that would also contradict the Scripture. And it really, as you say, that's obvious, preacher. That's how simple it is. But yeah, why are so many people getting tripped up? Why aren't so many people buying into this idea? There are people building bunkers. There are people buying, you know, I'm all for being ready for a disaster, have 6 months or 3 years, however much food you want. But if you're getting ready to try to defeat the Antichrist and take on him in the tribulation period, you're wasting your time and money.
Amen.
Daniel's 70th week is the time of Jacob's trouble.
Amen.
That's why we know the church isn't here. It's not the time of the church's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, read that. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And that is exactly what Romans 11, 25 tells you is going to happen at the end of the time of the Gentiles, the end of the tribulation period. All Israel shall be saved. Now, that's all that remain after two-thirds are killed off. And that's in Zechariah, and I believe it's 13:10, where it says he'll save the third part. But that's the time. It doesn't say, it never calls the tribulation the time of the church's trouble. That's why there's no mention of the church in tribulation passages, because it's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's not the church's trouble. The church is missing in action. There's no mention of the church in the tribulation period. Only saints, like we see in the Old Testament. There's no church in any of the tribulation passages. You read from Revelation 6 through 19. We've studied it verse by verse. We never once saw a church in there. We never once saw anybody who was born again. We never once saw a body of Christ referred to or mentioned. And I already said, no one's born again. Isn't that something? Do you believe people are going to be saved from the tribulation period? Why don't we ever see anybody being saved or born again? Why isn't there a body of Christ or a church? Because the only saints in this 7 year period are those saved by trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection. It says they don't worship the beast and they do not take the mark of the beast. Is that how you're saved today?
No.
And you know why? These people are saved by not worshiping the beast and not taking the mark in the tribulation period because there's no church anymore. And you wouldn't believe the nuts out there who are telling everybody that during the tribulation, well, that whole left behind thing kind of perpetuated this idea. But during the tribulation period, that 7-year period, the people are saved just like you are now. You just say a little sinner's prayer and you're saved. The Bible says if you can pray the sinner's prayer every day of your life, you take the mark, you're going to hell. You be saved, baptized, now soul winning, and you worship the image of the beast, you burn in a lake of fire forever.
Amen.
It's not the church. It's not the same. Revelation 14:9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, unless you're eternally secure. Not there. Amen? In the presence of the Lamb, and that's where he stopped. Next verse. Read that. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Nothing about being eternally secure in there. Amen? Verse 12, read it. Here is the patience of the who?
Saints.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, you're not a saint by keeping the commandments of God. They do have faith in Jesus, but it's not faith alone anymore. And they're saints, but there's no church. They're not sealed under the day of redemption. They're not born again. They've not been baptized into the one body because it's not there. The one body, the bride, is in heaven. The bride has gone through the judgment seat of Christ and is ready to be married. You think about that. I mean, that's when the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper take place. How are people still on earth being saved the way they were before, baptized into the body, when the body is already in heaven and the bride is already in heaven being married?
That would be like creating a second bride.
Yeah, polygamy.
Oh, polygamy.
God's going to have more than one bride?
Not
our God. Amen. The Mormon God and some of those other ones. This is not the way Christians are saved.
Amen.
And I hope you all understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot worship the image of the beast and not take the mark, and you'll still go to hell right now.
Right.
If you're not saved, you're not saved. These warnings are never addressed to the churches in any epistle. Think about the implications of that. If these anti-pre-trib heretics are right, then Paul is guilty of, he's a derelict in duty. He evidently didn't give us everything the Holy Spirit wanted us to have. Because I don't read anywhere in Paul's epistles where he warns those churches to get ready for the Antichrist, to get ready for the judgments of God, to get ready for seals, vials, and bowls, or seals, vials, and bowls, or the same thing, and trumpets. He doesn't tell them to be prepared to endure to the end and don't take the mark. He never mentions the mark. He never tells Christians, don't take that mark, no matter what you do. If we, at any time in church history, had to worry about going through that period of time, Paul would have mentioned it. And he didn't.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.